So I want to start from prayer, because that always makes me feel better. As nervous as I am so incredibly excited to talk tonight. So let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, humble. I pray that I would be a vessel for you, Lord. I'd be your hands and feet, that the words that are spoken tonight wouldn't be mine, they'd be yours, Lord. That everyone's heart would be ready to hear your word, and that we'd receive you with open arms, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the main goal that I have for you tonight is to make sure that every one of you leaves here knowing how to have a relationship with God. So one, knowing how to have a relationship, and two, understanding how to apply it in your life. Wisdom is nothing if you don't apply it, so you have to know how to apply it. Sadly, so many Christians today don't understand something as simple as having a relationship with God. And it's such kind of a cliche thing to say in the church, you need to have a relationship with God, but how do you do that? And so many new Christians, even I know myself, like it wasn't something that I really understood and grasped until the last, I don't know, probably 2 years ago. So I want to make sure that we go over the three tools that we have that all of you guys have access to. So it's prayer, meditation, and scripture reading or Bible study. And these are things that you can do anytime, anywhere, and it's stuff that, you know, most of you guys have a Bible. If not, you guys have phones, you can download a Bible app. So you have all this at your fingertips. So people don't really always understand. They think it's so complicated to have a relationship with God. But it's really, really simple. So how, if you meet someone on the street, or, you know, someone, maybe your friend has a friend, and you're trying to get to know them better. So how do you have a relationship? What are two things you guys can do to have, like, build a relationship? Yeah.
You can talk to them.
Talk to them, that's good.
Common
interest, that's good, yeah. Anyone else? All right, spend time is the other one I'm looking for, so which kind of goes hand in hand with talking. But to get to know someone, you have to spend time with them. You have to talk to them. It's no different with God. You should treat him as like your best friend. You should talk to him. So a relationship is two ways. What would be the purpose of such an amazing God who creates the entire universe? Like, what would be the purpose of him creating you and me? I mean, it seems like, why would he have any purpose for us? The reason is because he loves you. He loved you before he created you. So he created you to have and build a relationship with you. So we have to make sure that we're talking to him, we're communicating, so we're not just receiving his blessings, because he's a gracious and merciful God. He'll give to you. We have to make sure that we're returning the favor. We're praying every day. We're talking to him. He wants to know us better. So we have to make sure that we're talking to him. Sometimes we can think of God as kind of a vending machine. You know, we go up to him, we press the button, like, I want an A on the test today. And you click the button, and he's gracious, right? So he'll give to you. He'll give freely to you. And then you walk away, and he's like, but, you know, I want to talk to you about your day. How was your day? And you're like, no, God, I don't really have time for that. I'm just going to put you on the sideline. So often I find myself doing this, and I'm completely disgusted to think about it, because someone who's done everything in your life, like he gave you life itself, and we're just going to put him on the back burner and say, I'm only going to, you know, come to you when I need you. So we have to make sure that we're not, you know, just going to him when we need him, but that we want to build that relationship. And there's so many times where I've been in prayer, and I'm sure you've been at this place where you're just sitting there, you got 15 minutes that you set aside for prayer. It then turns into 30 minutes and an hour, maybe 2 hours. And you're sitting there in such an amazing prayer time saying, God, I don't want to leave this place. Where your heart's just on fire for the Lord. And like that's what he wants. He wants you to build that relationship. And sadly, like maybe a week goes by and you haven't done your quiet time. You completely forgot about everything that happened the previous week and all your prayer time and all the amazing time that you wished you could hold on to. And you're just begging for more of God. And we completely forget about it throughout our week. So I want to turn, if you can turn to your Bibles, to Ephesians 3, verses 14. We're going to read through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. So this is a prayer from Paul. He's writing to the church of, I think it's Ephesus, something like that. And it's about spiritual growth and prayer. So if you guys are there, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, through his Spirit. The thing I want to kind of emphasize is the creator of everything. It's a term that we use countless times in church. I mean, every week you probably use that God created everything. But you have to really, like, if you ever take the time to fully grasp that concept, that is so amazing. Things that, anything you can think of that's been, it's been created by God, even things that we don't even fully know, stuff in heaven like angels and all that kind of stuff, it's all created. The vastness of the universe. And it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. And it says, I pray that from his glorious and limited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So I want to point out the word trust. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. So this word trust, you don't just trust anyone. I'm sure there's certain people in your life that you're like, I would trust them with my life. I would trust them with this, whatever it is. But the reason you trust that person is because you know them. You've built a loving relationship with them, so you have the faith that they're going to be good stewards of whatever you're tasking them with, that they're going to be trustworthy. So in order to trust in God more, we have to talk to him, communicate. So the first thing I have, the first tool is prayer. Prayer is our communication with God. It's how we talk to him, and he wants to hear us. Like, all of us should be praying every day, multiple times. Like, it shouldn't just be like when you want something. Like, throughout the day, if you think of something and you want to tell God about it, like, he loves to hear from us. So we have to make sure that we're praying constantly. So in order to build that trusting relationship, you have to talk to God in prayer. Prayer is so incredibly powerful. There are times in my life, some of the most emotional times that I can think of in my personal life have been in times of prayer where I just, like, fall to my face and just, you know, sobbing, like crying to God of just, you know, whatever I'm going through, or if I'm just praising him for who he is. And it's been some of the most amazing times in my life that I've been in this powerful time of prayer. So I have a small story to share. Some of you know we've had multiple bunny rabbits as pets. And the first one we got, it's probably 6 or so years ago. And we had it for 4 or 5 years, probably. It was an old bunny. It lived to be about, I think, 10 or 11 years old. 12 years old. Anyways, 12-year-old. And bunnies aren't supposed to live that long. Finally, the bunny did pass away. And my mom came and woke me up. And it was my sister's bunny. We hadn't told her yet. She brought me down to make sure everything, that the bunny was dead and everything. So I came down, and I remember the look on her face. It was so heartbreaking to see her like that. And it just completely broke my heart. So a year later, we got another one. And it was only a couple weeks old, maybe a month old. And it fell ill and was dead within the next day. And my mom came, woke me up, and took a look at it. And I remembered seeing her that way. And I knew that I it couldn't happen again. I would feel so terrible to see her go through that again. So I remember just right then, they're like just crying out and like praying to God. Like, prayer is so powerful. Like, I see it in scripture, and I'm no healer or anything. I can't do anything miraculous. But I sat there and I prayed. Like, I was angry. Like, why would you do this to her? Like, it's not fair. And I just remember just crying out and saying, if it be your will, then do something miraculous. Like fix this. This, I can't have this happen. Nothing happened, of course, because I'm no amazing healer. Couple years later, actually a couple months later, got another bunny. Yeah, it doesn't get better, so don't hold your breath. And it was a much older bunny when we first got it, so we weren't expecting it to live too long. And it passed away, and I went down to it. And I remember this time, I just held the bunny, and I was just crying. I was like, this is so awful. Like, how could you possibly do this to her? She doesn't deserve this. And I was just crying out and like, Lord, I know you can do this. And I had faith. But in the back of my mind, I heard a voice. It was like, it didn't work the first time. What made you, you know, what's going to make you think that it's going to work this time? And guys, that's the enemy. He's going to mess with your mind. He will do anything to get in your way from hearing scripture or doubt, you know, self-doubt. He'll get in your way. The scripture says, like, with faith you can move mountains. And, like, faith and prayer is so incredibly powerful, something that we completely underestimate. So I have another quick story Some of you know that recently I became a jackfruit farmer. And if you guys don't know what a jackfruit is, it's a big old fruit. I think the world's largest was 80 to 100 pounds, like big, big fruit. They're green and they got like spikes on them and they turn like yellowish brown. Anyways, so my mom had tasked me and Blakely to go to Publix and pick up some groceries. And we go to walk in the store and we realize we need masks and there's only one mask. So I was like, I'll take it. That's fine. Give me the list. And I have my mom's card, put the mask on, go into Publix. I complete the list. And I'm walking through the produce section, and I see this 20-pound jackfruit. And I'm like, I've always wanted to try one of those. And the little sign says $1.30, and I pick that big baby, and I walk all the way over to the cash register. I put it down, and I ring everything up. She's like, that'll be $45.23. And I was like, that's unusual. And she was like, yeah, these things are really good, but they're so stinking expensive. I was like, what do you mean? You know, the sign said $1.30. She goes, $1.30 a pound. And I took a look at the jackfruit, looked down at my mom's card in my hand, and I said, I'll take it. So not only did I have, you know, Blakely looking at me like, what did you do? And then my mother's look, very similar. She was not amused. But I pulled the whole, I'm going to college card, and we're going to have these all these experiences. It was great. Anyway, so I planted the seeds, and I had five little jackfruit sprouts in these little solo cups. And eventually they grew into these big stalks. One day in my quiet time, the Lord was showing me, it's crazy how he takes things from your life and completely relates it to the Bible in a way that you'll understand it. And he was showing me that, like, with proper nutrients, and we talk about, I'll read the next part of the verse. Let's see. Verse 17, and Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Throughout the Bible, you see this trend of roots growing deep, or, you know, the vine. Like, plants are very engraved into most of Jesus' parables and stuff. So he was showing me that proper nutrients is what keeps the plant alive, right? You know, you've got to water the plant, you got to make sure it has proper sunlight, all that kind of stuff. So he was showing me all this in my quiet time, and this was probably 6 months ago. And when I was preparing for tonight, he brought that up in my head, and I was like, that is so perfect that it works perfectly. So a quote that I found that I don't really know who quoted it says, a well-read Bible is a sign of a well-fed soul. I'm going to say that again. A well-read Bible is a sign of a well-fed soul. The Bible is our spiritual food. It's what nourishes us and our faith and how we grow deeper into the faith. So, obviously, well-read Bible means, well, you know, well-fed soul. So, we talked about how prayer is how we talk to God. But how does God communicate back with us? Right? I mean, I talked about how a relationship is symbiotic, not parasitic. You know, you've got to have two people communicating and talking back and forth and working together, not a parasite, like a leech who just latches on and takes from you, but the leech isn't giving anything in return, right? So you have to make sure your relationship is like this. So how does that work? It's through the Bible. The Bible is how God speaks to us. So I went on a journey a year ago. I wanted to set out, I was like, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. It's something that's talked about all the time in church, and I feel like I've never experienced that. So, I talked to Pastor Rob, I talked to Mr. Cottrell, I talked to a lot of people about how I can hear the voice of the Lord. And I can't exactly tell you what it's going to be like. You'll just know. But it was through, like, reading scripture and meditating on it. And we'll get on meditation in a minute. But really just, like, praying, like, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff to me, and then getting in scripture and just looking. And, you know, waiting patiently and listening for the voice of the Lord. And it's incredible because this book that was written thousands of years ago is still changing lives today. That's why it's called the Living Word. I was doing a study in Romans, and I've done a couple studies in Romans, and each time I read the same verse over and over, each time I read it, I learn something new. God teaches me something new each time I read a verse, and that it's so amazing to me because the book is alive. It's teaching me constantly, and that's why it's, you know, stood the It stood up to time itself because it continues to change people's lives. My prayer for all of you is that God would open up your minds and hearts to accept the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit's job, like when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. It's kind of like that voice in the back of your head, what we call your conscience. And that's what shows you stuff in Scripture. It illuminates things. And I'm going to get to that word illuminate in a minute. But my prayer is that we'd be filled with the full power of the Holy Spirit. I know Pastor Titus was talking about this a couple weeks ago in church, and we're not going to stop praying for this until it happens. So we want to make sure that we're constantly praying that all of our actions, our thoughts, everything we do throughout the day would be guided by the Holy Spirit. So in my analogy of the jackfruit or whatever plant, prayer is like water. It's a thing that you add to the plant to help make the plant grow, right? Scripture meditation is like the fertilizer. It's the food that you give to strengthen the roots. So you got to grow the plant and then strengthen it. Now, I talked about the word illumination. And I feel such like a cool pastor. I was like, so the word illuminate in Greek. I translated this 20 times, then back into English, and it created this amazing thing. But the word illuminate is diaphotizo. And it translates literally to enlighten or to shed light or to educate. And I love the word educate. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. When you're reading Scripture, you read a verse, and He teaches you from that verse. He shows you what He wants you to see. And that's why I love the word they use. And then enlighten, meaning a similar thing. And then to shed light on, meaning like to show or like to, I mean, use illuminate. But I love that. So like I said, Bible study is a fertilizer. It's what's going to strengthen your roots. And then finally, the third thing that kind of ties everything together is meditation. So most people think of like Buddha, you know, crossing his legs and doing the whole, you know, humming thing. But meditation just means to think for long periods of time. So like meditation, you should do like, it says like meditate on Scripture day and night in the Bible. So all throughout your day, my prayer every morning is that I don't forget about God all day. Like when I have my quiet time and I read the Bible, I pray that He would be like in my mind all day, that I'd constantly think about Him and think about what He's been teaching me. So meditation is so important. So if you think of meditation as the soil itself, so you pour the water in to the plant and it helps the plant grow, the fertilizer helps strengthen the roots, and the soil is what takes up all the water and nutrients and gives it to the roots. So that's kind of what ties everything together. It just sits there and soaks up everything and it thinks about it. So like throughout your day, like, and there's so many times throughout a day where I would be like, I'll go to say something and the Lord was like, you know, don't say that, or don't do this, whatever. And I have to thank Him at the end of the day when I go home, like, thank you so much for being with me throughout my day, because I really, really needed that. So meditation is extremely important, something you can do sitting in class, you know, and pay attention to your teachers, but sitting in class, wherever you are, you know, thinking about what you've been learning, what God's been teaching you in Scripture, and through your prayer time. I'm not sure if the band's coming back up for another song, but as I invite the band back up to do their last thing, I want to make sure that you guys remember the three things that we went over that you can do. So we got the three tools. What are the three tools?
Prayer, meditation, and reading Scripture.
Reading Scripture. That's perfect. Okay, like I said, the goal of today was to make sure that you guys leave here knowing how to have a relationship. It's part of the whole Christianity thing. That's what you do. You have a relationship with God. So I want to make sure that all of you leave here knowing how to do that. And if you guys have any questions, Rob's here. All of our student leaders are here. We'd all love to talk to you. So that is all I have for you guys.